Good morning, class. Certainly good to be back in Vallejo. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time, been praying about it. You've been praying about it, working hard for it. And I want this to be the best gospel meeting, the best gospel revival in the history of this good church. So you pray for me. I've been praying for you. We'll work and pray to that good end. If I were to ask you the question, what is your favorite verse in the Bible, what would you say? In fact, let me just do it. This is a Bible class. We have favorite verses. Yes, sir? John 11:35. That's a great verse. Shortest verse in the English translation. The shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Somebody else, your favorite verse. Yes, ma'am? It's the power of God to salvation, to everyone who believes, Jew first, and also to the Greek. Somebody else? Yes, sir? Very good. Hebrews 4:12, right? Good, good. Yes, ma'am? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean upon your own understanding. John? 1 John 3:16? Well, 1 John or John? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. By the way, 1 John 3:16 says that we ought to love one another. God so loved the world, John 3:16. 1 John 3:16, we ought to love one another. Mike? Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the good news to everybody. You know, we can just go on and on and on with verse after verse after verse. What I want to do for a few minutes this morning, I want to share with you one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. And it's a verse from the Old Bible, so if you have an Old Testament, I want you to go with me, please, to the book of 2 Chronicles. It comes right after 1 Chronicles. Good place for it, right? 1 Chronicles, then 2 Chronicles. And we'll go to chapter 7. Second Chronicles, chapter 7. And look with me, please, to verse 14. Second Chronicles 7, verse 14. God is speaking to a fellow by the name of Solomon. We think about Solomon as a very wise man, and listen to what he says to Solomon, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, that's not a short verse, is it? I mean, it's not like Jesus wept or rejoiced evermore, pray without ceasing. It's not a tiny verse. It's one of the longer verses in all the Bible. But let me tell you something, class. It's a verse to live by, a verse to die by, a verse to go to heaven with. It's a verse that can be an incredible, huge blessing to your heart and your life. God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. First of all, from 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, I want you to notice with me, notice the people of this verse, the people of 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. God said, if my people who are called by my name, you know, in Old Testament times, God had a people. What were the people of God called in the Old Testament? Israelites, Jews, Hebrews, seed of Abraham. What about today, Eric? I walk up to Eric and I say, Eric, what are you religiously? Christian. Wow, I like that. That's who we are, right? We're Christians. Does anybody know the number of times the name Christian is found in the Bible? Hugh does. John, you say once. Hugh says three. Anybody else want to guess? Six. Okay, good guesses. Hugh is right. It is three times in the New Testament. Acts 11:26, Scripture says the disciples were called first in Antioch. It's found in the very same book, the book of Acts, Acts 26:28. Acts 26:28, a king said to a preacher, Agrippa said to Paul, I'll start, you finish, almost thou persuadest me to be a. And then it's found in 1 Peter 4, verse 16, Peter said, yet if any man suffer as a question, what's a Christian? We use the name frequently. I say, Eric, what are you? And Eric says, man, I'm a Christian. That's wonderful. But what's a Christian? Well, this morning, I'm sorry, a follower of Christ, a student of Christ, somebody who's wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. A little boy put it like this on one occasion. He said, Daddy, what's a Christian? I go to Sunday school, I go to my class, and the teacher's talking about Christian this and Christian that. I don't understand. What's a Christian? And the wise father got his Bible, turned over to 1 Peter 4, verse 16, read the verse, yet if any man suffer as a... And he said to his son, Son, do you see the name Christian here? And the little boy said, yes. And the father said, Son, do you see the last three letters in the name Christian? And the kid said, are you talking about I-A-N? He said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He said, the father said, I want you to take the name of Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, and put the name of Christ over here. You take the last three letters of the name Christian, I-A-N, and put them over on this side. Let the I stand for I. Let the A stand for ain't. Let the N stand for nothing. He said, son, without Christ, without Jesus, I ain't nothing. I'm nothing without Jesus. Well, when we talk about Christians, we're talking about people of God, people who belong to Jesus, followers of Christ, people who are wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. I remember talking to a friend of mine on one occasion. He said, Keith, I want to be a Christian first, but a... And then he gave another religious name. He said, I want to be a Christian first, but a blank second. Well, not me, not me. By the grace of God, by the love of Jesus, I want to be a Christian first, second, third, and fourth. Ethel, what about you? You want to be a Christian? Ethel says, I want to be a Christian, only a Christian, nothing more than a Christian, nothing less than a Christian, right? We are God's people. We're the people of God, so we are Christians, Christians. God said, if my people who are called by my name. In the second place, from 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if you just came in, we're studying from the Old Bible, one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament. It's not a short verse, it's a long verse, and yet it's a very powerful verse. In the second place, I want you to notice the plan. See, God has a plan for His people. What is God's plan for His people? Well, He tells us in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, God said, if my people who are called by my name, what's the first part of the plan, class? Shall humble themselves. God says, I want my people to be humble. I want you to be humble people. Do you remember in Proverbs chapter 6, six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination? Do you remember the very first sin of the list? God says, I hate a proud look. I hate the sin of pride. I don't want you to be proud people. I want you to be humble people. Micah chapter 6, Micah the prophet asked this question. Micah 6 and verse 8, what does the Lord require? What does God want? What is God's plan for His people? What does the Lord require? Do you remember the answer? Here's the answer. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. I want you to walk humbly. You say, Brother Keith, that's Old Testament. We're not Old Testament people. We are New Testament people. Let me give you some New Testament. The greatest sermon that was ever preached was not preached by Mark. It was not preached by myself. It was preached by our brother, King Jesus. The great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Does anybody remember how that sermon starts out? Blessed are the... Well, he says, first of all, blessed are the meek. That's Matthew 5 and verse 4. Matthew 5 and verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? You know what Jesus is saying? Happy are the humble. You want to be happy? Be humble. Don't be proud. Be humble. Happy are the humble. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think about what James said in James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. Maybe you're going through some valleys of life. Maybe you're down financially. You're down spiritually. Maybe you're down emotionally. Maybe you're down physically. You're struggling with your health. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. You need a lift? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, Peter said, be clothed with humility, just like Miss Tony, right? Miss Tony put on that beautiful red dress to come to red outfit, to come to class today, to come to church. Peter said, you clothe yourself with humility. Because God resists the proud, He gives grace to the humble. So time after time after time, in both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, God says, I want my people to be humble. Be humble enough to say, I'm sorry. Be humble enough to say, pray for me. Be humble enough to say, it was my fault. Be humble enough to say, I have sinned. Be humble, people. That's step number one. Now, what about step number two in God's plan? God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and what? Pray. I want you to pray. I don't know of anything you can't pray about. See, I don't know most of you. I know a few of your names, but I don't know most of you. Hey, Scott, how you doing? I don't know what's going on in Scott's life. 18 years old, right? No Evan over there. I don't know what's going on in their lives. But I tell you, I don't know of anything they cannot pray about. You know, what concerns you? Your kids, your grandbabies, your marriage, your health, your finances, your job. I don't know what concerns you, but I'm telling you, I don't know of anything that God's people cannot pray about. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Philippians 4, verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Be careful for nothing. That's my mother's Bible. What I call the Old King James Version, my mother's Bible. I use that translation. You probably don't. That's okay. But I grew up on it. He said, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Don't be anxious. What does that mean? That's how we say it, right? Don't fret. Don't worry. You ever worry? What do you worry about? When the preacher calls you on you in Bible class, right? What do you guys worry about in California? I know what we Tennessee folks worry about. What do you guys worry about? You worry about earthquakes out here? The traffic, huh? Amen. You worry about us from Tennessee, huh? Well, I understand that because I worry about you guys in California. Well, I don't know what concerns you. Maybe it's your family, your kids, your job, your money. Paul put it like this, Philippians 4, verse 6, he said, don't worry about anything, but that ought to get our attention. He says, let me tell you what you ought not to do. Don't worry, but what, Paul? But in everything. He didn't say in the big stuff. He didn't say in spiritual matters. He didn't say in church stuff. He said in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what he's saying? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. I'm going to ask you to do us a favor. For the next 4 days, would you pray for somebody by name? See, the Bible class people, you're the cream of the crop. You really are the soul of the church. You're the heart of this church. I mean, you're the greatest. You come to Bible class, right? So I'm asking, I'm going to ask the, if I don't forget, I'll ask the entire church to do what I'm asking you to do. But for the next 4 days, starting today and then tomorrow and then on Tuesday and Wednesday, here's what I want you to do. Pray for one person by name. Somebody that needs to be saved. Do you know of anybody who needs to be saved? Do you know anybody who maybe is a Christian but just needs to be renewed, be strengthened? For the next 4 days, I want you to pick out one person, somebody you work with, somebody you go to school with, maybe somebody who's in this, maybe somebody in this Bible class. But pick out one person and pray for that person by name, a person who just needs a closer walk with Jesus. Let me tell you what I find all across America. I find that praying churches are responding churches. How many people will respond this week? How many people will come and say, pray for me? How many people will be baptized this week? Will you be praying about that? If you'll just make a commitment right now for the next 4 days, starting right now, I'm going to be praying for one person by name for one person for the next 4 days. And who knows what God may bring to the table. God said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and what's the next part of God's plan? Seek His face. When you hear the word seek, seek. Do you think of any Bible verse? Seek ye first, Matthew 6:33. The same sermon, ask and it be given to you. Seek, you'll find. But Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. God says, I want you to seek a relationship with me.
I want to have a relationship with my kids, my children. Seek ye first. Is God really first in your life? You say, Keith, I hope he is. I think he is. But how can I be sure? Look at the word first. F-I-R-S-T. F-I-R-S-T. Let the F stand for focus. What's your focus? I mean, you get up in the morning, what are you thinking about? You go to bed at night, what's on your heart? What's your focus? As Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, and if you're a baptized believer, you have been raised with Christ. If ye then be risen with Christ, he said, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your heart, your affection, your focus on things above, not on things down here. So often we get caught up in the here and now. Sports. You know, back in Tennessee, we have the Titans. You have what? The Raiders out here. Giants. You have a bunch of teams out here, right? Yeah. I mean, we get caught up in the here and now, sports and politics and money and things, cars and clothes. And not, you know, in and of themselves, nothing wrong with that, but Scripture says, set your focus, set your heart on things above, not on things down here. Is God really first in your life? Are you seeking God first? Let the F stand for focus. The I in the word first, F-I, let the I stand for income. When it comes to your money, is God really first in your life? You can answer that question by answering this question. What are you going to give today to God? Are you giving more this year than you gave last year in 2016? Have you grown in the grace of giving? Do you really believe what Jesus said in Acts 20, verse 35? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let me challenge you to do something. If you're struggling financially, test God. That's what God said back in the book of Malachi. He said, test me, try me. I tell you, if you'll just test me, I'll open up the windows of heaven, pull you out a blessing so huge, so incredible, there not be room enough to receive it. Is God really first in your life? Look at your focus. Look at your income. Is God really first when it comes to your money? F-I-R, let the R stand for relationships. Friends, people that you associate with, people that you have lunch with, people that you play cards with or play golf with. You know, they should either be people, our friends, our relationships, they should either be people that are bringing us closer to Jesus, or they should be people that we're bringing closer to Jesus. So when it comes to the people that you associate with, hang out with, play ball with, are you bringing them closer to heaven, or are they bringing you closer to heaven? F-I-R-S, let the S stand for security. When you need security, some arms around you, when you're down, to whom do you go first? Do you go to your doctor first, your psychiatrist first, your counselor, the banker, the preacher, or do you turn to God first? When you need some arms, when you need some security, do you turn to God first? I hear God say in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, hey, cast your care upon me. I really care for you. I want you to cast your care upon me. I want to be your security. F-I-R-S-T. Let the T stand for time. See, we're just trying to find out, are you seeking God first? F-I-R-S-T. T stands for time. When it comes to your time, how much time do you give to God outside of coming to church? You come to church, what, 4 hours a week? 2 hours on Sunday morning class and worship? Hour on Sunday night, hour on Wednesday night, outside of the 4 hours of coming to church. How much time do you give outside of these walls to God? Maybe teaching the lost, visiting, providing for those in need, taking care of the widows and the orphans, inviting people to come to church with you. How much time do you give to God outside of coming to church in a week's time? How much time do you give to God? There are how many hours in a week? 168. In our 168 hours this week, how many hours will we give to God? As Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time, making the most of your time because the days are evil. See, we're just trying to find out, are you really seeking a relationship with God? God says, I want you to seek my face. You say, how can I know? Look at the word first, F-I-R-S-T. Let the F stand for focus, I for income, R for relationships, S for security, and T for time. God says, here's what I want my people to do. First of all, it starts with humility. Be humble enough to say, I'm in need. Be humble enough to look up to me in prayer. It starts with humility. Humility leads to prayer, and prayer leads to a relationship with God. Seeking God's face. Seeking Him first. Now, what's the next step in God's plan? 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. What is it? God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? Isn't it hard to turn? You know what he's saying? He says, I want my people to change. Isn't it hard to change? If you don't believe it's hard to change, just take a look at where you're sitting in church. Okay? Wow. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Now, we have some guests. We have another Bible class in this Bible class. And, you know, this may not be the place where you sit usually in Bible class. But, you know, in church, we have our favorite pews, don't we? Huh? You know what I'm talking about. And you walk in on a Sunday morning and you see a guest, a visitor sitting in your pew. Why, you're nice people. You're not going to say anything. But you walk in, you see somebody sitting in your pew and you're thinking, what are you doing in my pew? That's my pew. I've been sitting there for the last 20 years. Get up and get out, right? We have our it's hard to change pews in church. We have our favorite pews. It's hard to change. You know why I preach from the old King James Version? I told you I preach from my mother's Bible. You know why? Not because I believe it's the best translation. I grew up on it. And it's just hard for me to change. You know why I wear clothes that I've worn for the last 10 or 15 years? I'm cheap. You thought I was going to say it's hard to change, right? Well, it is hard to change, and I'm also cheap. But see, when God says, I want my people to turn from their ways, their wicked ways, you know what he's saying? I want you to change. Acts 17 and verse 30, God says, I want all people everywhere to what? Repent. What does that mean? Change. 2 Peter 3 verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but he wants everybody to come to what? A change. He wants everybody to come to repentance. So God says, I want you to turn from your wicked ways. Now, I want you to get very, very specific. Let's share. Let's name some things we need to turn from, God's people. Let's get very specific. What is something that we need to turn from? Ooh. Okay, entertainment. Well, most of us like to be entertained. Nothing wrong with entertainment in and of itself. Or is there? Okay. So we classify, not just turn from entertainment, because, you know, you watch a ball game, you're entertained. Play cards, you're entertained. Go to plays or movies, you're entertained. But there are a lot of movies that God's people ought not to be going to. We need to change some of the ways that we're entertained. I think maybe some of us are watching movies that the preacher on Sunday says you ought not to be watching. And maybe you're watching TV shows that the preacher on Sunday says you ought not to be watching. See, I think there's some entertainment that we do need to change, the way that we're entertained. Don't let Satan pull you into that trap. There's some rotten stuff out there. So avoid every kind of evil, even the appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. Very good. Is it Ray? That's not Ray. What's your name? Say it again. Keith. How could I forget that? Brother Keith. Yes? Well, I think that's something that we need to start doing. Absolutely. We need to share Christ with others. So maybe one of the things that we need to turn from is our fear, embarrassment of sharing Christ with others. Very good. What else do we need to turn from, Hugh? Ooh, wow. Let that soak in, holding a grudge. It's easy to do that, right? I think about what Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Say, I stand before you this morning as a forgiven sinner. I'm glad that Jesus is not holding a grudge against me. And if Jesus doesn't hold a grudge against me because of my filthy ways of the past, we ought not to hold grudges against each other. Kevin, what do we need to change? Self-centeredness. Wow. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, in the last days, troublesome times will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. That's something we need to change, right? And you know, we could just go on and on. Yes, ma'am. Say it again. Okay, you're saying we need to change what? Be more kind, be more appreciative when people are nice to you. Oh, when they're not nice to you, yeah. Yeah, well, Scripture says, Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Going back to the grudge, be kind to one another, even if they're not kind to you, right? Love your enemies, Jesus said. Bless them that curse you, okay? Very good. Well, there are a lot of things that God's people need to change. But see, God has a plan. What is God's plan for His people? According to this verse, God says it starts with humility. Humility leads to prayer. Prayer leads to seeking a relationship with Him. And then we need to do some changing, some turning. Now, that's God's plan. I see something else in this verse. We're talking about 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Here's what I see. I not only see God's people. God said, if my people who are called by my name, I not only see God's plan, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I see God's promise. In fact, God makes three promises to His people. He makes three promises to you. Promise number one. What's promise number one? I will hear from heaven. If you'll follow my plan, I tell you what I'll do. I'll hear from heaven. I want to make a statement to you. You be the judge of the statement. I really believe that God hears and answers every prayer that we pray. Would you agree with that? He answers, He hears and He answers every prayer that His children pray. Sometimes His answer is yes. It's yours for the asking. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer and God said yes? What did Elijah pray for? James chapter 5, even the New Testament talks about that Old Testament guy. James chapter 5, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. James 5, 17, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Guess what? It didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Tommy, was it you that said that you were praying for good weather when we got to our men's retreat yesterday? Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful day we had over at the bay. Usually the fog may be coming in, but man, I had a beautiful day and it was able to see. So it's okay to pray for the weather. Elijah did. So sometimes God says, yes, it's yours for the asking. Sometimes He says, wait, the time is not right. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer and God said, wait? Made Abraham for what? For a child? Okay. And I assume, now I don't know if I'm putting my finger on the verse that says Abraham and Sarah prayed for that baby, but they did have to wait a long time. I know that Zechariah and Elizabeth prayed for a baby. You remember the story, Luke chapter 1, they were young, they were in love, they got married, more than anything in the world, kind of like Abraham and Sarah, they wanted a little baby, and so they pray and they pray and they pray. Then they wait and they wait and they wait. And now they're old people. They're too old to have a baby. But all of a sudden, God comes and says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Prayer, what prayer? You're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. He's going to be a preacher like you've always wanted. Are you teasing God? God says, no, I'm not teasing. When do you think that Zechariah and Elizabeth started praying that prayer? When they were old or when they were young? No doubt about it. They were young. They were in love. They got married. They wanted that baby. And they pray and they pray and they pray. And then they have to wait and wait and wait. And now they're old people. Too old to have a baby. You're going to have a son. Are you teasing God? I'm not teasing. His name's going to be John. He's going to be a preacher. And so they had to wait. They had to wait a lifetime. You may ask God for something. You might have to wait a month. You might have to wait to next year. You might have to wait 10 years. You might have to wait, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, a lifetime. Sometimes God says, yes, it's yours for the asking. Sometimes he says, wait, time's not right. Let me just make this statement. It's worth writing down. It's worth taking home with you. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Just because God says, wait, the time is not right, that doesn't mean that he's not going to give it to you. God's delays are not necessarily God's denials. Sometimes yes, sometimes wait. Sometimes God says, no, I love you too much to give you what you asked for. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that prayed a prayer and God said no? What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? We don't know. We don't know what it was. I think it was his eyesight. In fact, he said in Galatians chapter 4, about verse 15, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. In fact, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11, he said, you see how large a letter I've written with my own hand? Galatians is not a long letter compared to Romans or 1 Corinthians. But more than likely, Paul took that pen and wrote those large letters because probably he couldn't see. That was his thorn in the flesh. Regardless of what it was, Paul prayed three times for the thorn of the flesh to be removed. And three times God says, my grace, my favor is sufficient. So even to the Apostle Paul, God said no. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says wait, sometimes he says no. If you'll follow my plan, I tell you what I'll do, church. I will hear. Promise number one, I will hear from heaven. What's promise number two? I'll forgive their sin. It's good to be forgiven. Would you amen that? It is good to be forgiven. Let me show you literally what forgiveness is, okay? We'll do it with the plate. Everybody watch. Forgiveness. Here it is. It's a letting go. If you forgive somebody, you know, we talked about grudges. If you forgive somebody, you're going to turn it loose. You're going to let it go. And God, through the blood of his Son, has taken our sins and let go. God said, if you'll follow my plan, I tell you what I'll do. I'll forgive your sin. And I would say to you, if you're not a Christian, we have some people in this class and you're not Christians, I would say to you what the Apostle Peter said on the day of Pentecost, you need to change, repent, and you need to be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus. Why? For the letting go, for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. You say, Keith, I'm a baptized believer. I would say to you what John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, have you confessed your sins lately? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us or to let go. Promise number one, you follow my plan. I tell you what I'll do. I'll hear from heaven. Promise number two, I'll forgive their sin. What's the third promise? I will heal their land. How many of you ever traveled outside the United States of America? Mike, where have you been? Japan, Europe, Tony, Mexico, others, you? Ooh. Whoa, world traveler there. Whoa, very good. Kevin? Good for you. Military? Well, I've been to a number of places. I've been to India, been to the Philippines, been to the Bible lands twice, been to Mexico, been to Canada, been to Cuba, been to the Caribbean islands. I've been to Mississippi. In fact, I was just in Mississippi about 2 weeks ago doing some preaching, you know. I've been to a lot of places. But, you know, every time I travel outside the United States of America, I'm reminded we're living in the greatest country in the world. Would you agree with that? See, I kind of feel like old Lee Greenwood. I'm proud to be an American. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee. Across the plains of Texas. From sea to shining sea. From Detroit down to Houston. From New York to L.A. There's pride in every American heart. And it's time that we stand, not kneel. It's time that we stand, not sit. It's time that we stand and say, I'm proud to be an American. where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Because there ain't no doubt, I love this land. God bless the USA. And that's the way I feel. See, I'm proud to be an American. But I tell you, folks, morally and spiritually, America needs to be healed. Now, again, if you don't believe it, just go home and turn on the TV. You can't even turn on the TV without somebody flippantly and lightly using God's name in vain. I went to breakfast this morning down at the hotel, the beautiful hotel that you put me up in, and enjoying a good breakfast, and somebody was down there, oh my, are you kidding? You're not teasing, oh my, throwing out the name of God, and yet holy and reverent is His name, Psalm 111, verse 9. And then Jesus teaches to pray, our Father who art in heaven, holy, sacred, sanctified is Your name. See, you can't even turn on the TV without somebody using God's name in vain. And maybe we even see this among God's people. Maybe somebody tells you something that shocks you, surprises you. Are you teasing? You're not teasing. Oh, my. And we just throw out the name of God. See, America needs to be healed. Look at the divorce rate in America. Some of you have gone through a divorce. You know that God hates divorce. And I tell you, even the divorced people hate divorce. If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not easy. And then we take these little babies inside of mama, and we want to get rid of them. We don't want to call it murder. It's just abortion. And then you think about the racism in America. My race is better than your race. And the greed and the lies that are told from Washington, D.C. to Tennessee. I tell you, folks, morally and spiritually, America needs to be healed. And God said, if my people, who are called by my name, if you'll just follow my plan, I tell you what I'll do. Number one, promise number one, I'll listen, I'll hear from heaven. Number two, I'll let go, I'll forgive your sin. Number three, I'll heal your land. America needs revival. And 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 is a great verse to give revival to our country. Isn't that a great verse? Well, the clock on the wall says it's 10:39. They told me to stop at 10:40. It's a minute early. Have you ever seen a preacher stop a minute early? No. Miracles still happen, huh? It's been a good Bible class. Thank you for thinking out loud with us. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your presence. I'm looking forward to a great week. Now, remember, you're going to do something, right? For the next 4 days, what are you going to do? You're going to pray. You're going to pray for one person to be saved, one person to be renewed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not my will. Yeah. That's the way we ought to pray. We ought to pray submissively. Father, you know best. It's hard to say, God, you know best. I'm going to turn it over to you. Let your will be done. But yes, we ought to pray, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus did that, Luke 22. Very good. Thank you. Well, it's been a good Bible class. I'm looking forward to the lesson today, then tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Let's have a great week. Bring a friend with you. Show up. Let's pray together. Father, you have blessed us today. I'm grateful to be here. May we seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves and pray. And thank you for answering our prayers, for forgiving our sins. And Father, heal America. In Jesus' name, amen.